podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva from Medical Education, and I have the pleasure today of speaking with Fiona Patterson, who is professor in the Department of Psychology at the University of Cambridge and also works in the Work Psychology Group out of Nottingham in the United Kingdom. Fiona's been kind enough to take a break from the chaos of the Olympics that are swirling around the United Kingdom at the moment to speak with me about a paper that she and her co-authors have coming out in the September issue of Medical Education entitled Evaluating the Effectiveness of Situational Judgment Tests to Assess Non-Academic Attributes in Selection. Welcome to the podcast, Fiona.
Thanks, Kevin.
I had a little bit of a scheduling fiasco, and so I'm particularly grateful that you're able to rebook on short notice. I think the obvious place we need to start with this paper is just giving the listeners, many of whom won't know, a sense of what a situational judgment test is.
Yes, I mean, a situational judgment test has been an assessment tool that's been used in many occupational groups for quite some time, but recently there's literature emerging in the medical education and training literature. I mean, in SJT, the challenge is to look at how best to measure a broad range of non-academic attributes, such as things like integrity, empathy, resilience, team awareness, and so on. And what a candidate would actually experience in an SJT, the candidate might be presented with a sort of challenging situation that they're likely to encounter in training or in the workplace. And on the basis of that, there are a set of questions, if you like, where a candidate's asked to make a judgment about possible responses. And these responses are scored against a key that is predetermined by subject matter experts. And so, for example, it could be a scenario about a prescribing error. And in that scenario, there would also be some complex interpersonal issue to resolve. So it wouldn't just be about the clinical issue to do with correcting the prescription. It would also be to do with how one deals or communicates with the patient, how one deals or communicates with the colleagues and nurses involved in the situation, for example, and also how you might respond to your consultant. And so in a situational judgment test, candidates are presented, if you like, with professional dilemmas that relate to these non-academic attributes that require them to make a judgment about what is effective behaviour in that situation. And so in an SJT, you can manipulate the response format and the setting in terms of the scenarios to pitch them at a level appropriate for the training pathway. So, for example, you could construct these for novices, people who've never had experience in a healthcare profession, right through to sort of specialty recruitment whereby people have a significant job knowledge, and the scenarios can be constructed to reflect that complexity.
Right. In your description alone, it's very clear why this would be relevant to medical schools or health professional schools in general, given how much struggle there has been and how much emphasis there is on trying to make sure that people get in who broadly represent the various aspects of practice that the community desires. I want to pick up on the point you made about these things sometimes being constructed about experiences that people have had and sometimes being constructed about things that they can anticipate in whatever role they're striving to gain admission into. I know one of the controversies around this stuff is, how can you be confident that people are able to speak meaningfully about what they would do in situations that they maybe haven't experienced? And I'm sure there's some strategy that's put in place to try to minimize that risk. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's very helpful, Kevin, because the thing is about situational judgment tests, there isn't just one single tool. It is effectively a measurement methodology where you can manipulate the content of the scenario, but also importantly, the response format to pitch the level appropriately as to whether you're testing a novice versus somebody that's more of a seasoned professional. So, for example, throughout the issue, that's a key one to respond to in constructing response format for SJTs. And what the literature shows is that, and certainly some of the work we've been doing in the UK, is that most often in this setting we've used a response format which asks people what they should do, especially to those people that are within the training pathway and have some job knowledge and job experience. Mm-hmm. There is literature out there, and in our review we explore some of the work that's been going on with Philip Leuvens in Belgium, who's been using an SJT for medical and dental school admissions for several years now. And they've adopted a response format which is targeting more what would you do for novices. So in effect, in the items, the candidate is presented with effectively a brief dialogue between a healthcare worker and a patient. And the candidate's asked about which is the most, if you like, empathetic response. So it's really about awareness rather than a correct judgment about what the healthcare professional should do. Mm-hmm. One of the issues in the research, though, is that depending on the response format, some of these questions may lend themselves being more susceptible to coaching faking. So it's an important consideration for how you best construct these response formats to make sure that, you know, you can do the work of a high-stakes selection tool to minimise susceptibility to coaching. So it's actually a very complex question, and I think the important point is there is not one single style of SJT. The key is the test specification, making sure that it is pitched appropriately for the job role and job level.
Right, I think that's an excellent point to keep in mind for just about any protocol I've seen within an admissions context. And people often talk about these things as entities or forms that you can pull off a shelf and just apply, and don't often think about what is required in order to tailor it for the specifics of that context. In terms of the effectiveness of these things, the million-dollar question that every admissions committee or every dean charged with making these decisions wants to know is, are they actually giving valuable information? I trust the fact that you felt compelled to conduct a systematic review derived from the fact that you thought there was some variability in the literature. And so I'm wondering what you saw that led you to think that this review was necessary at this point in time.
Yeah, and I think that's a very good point. I mean, because SJTs are a measurement methodology, there isn't what, you know, there are some poorly designed SJTs. So I think the review helps us try and unpick how people have constructed SJTs and what the validation evidence has been, and there's certainly been a range of previous meta-analytic studies using evidence from a range of occupational groups. I think what we wanted to do in this paper is look at the relevance for medical education and training in particular, mm-hmm. given that actually is an applicant pool for medical school admissions. These are very bright people, and some of the literature has shown that SJTs tend to have better predictive validity in terms of subsequent job performance outcomes than tools such as personality tests, tests of IQ, and to some extent, some interviews. And so on that basis, what we wanted to do in this article is try and draw out what attempts there had been to look at certain dimensions such as integrity, empathy, teamwork, and what was the most appropriate specification for each level of selection in the medical education training pathway.
And you found many articles and narrowed them down to those specific types that you were just describing. Did that yield a clear conclusion as to how effective these things were, and probably more appropriately, what factors yield effectiveness?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big question, actually, Kevin. I think we...
I didn't promise to ask small ones.
I think across the board, certainly, the evidence is really very encouraging for SJTs. In terms of criterion-related validity, pretty much across the board, there is a good correlation between performance on an SJT and subsequent performance in relation to things like supervisor ratings and other outcomes in many different occupational groups. There is emerging literature from the medical education field. Certainly, say, for example, the Belgian study, some of that is forthcoming in future publications, is showing that as students enter clinical practice, the SJT becomes more predictive, and that kind of makes sense in looking at some of these non-academic attributes. I think the more puzzling question in terms of SJTs is because various researchers have adopted various response formats, getting clarity about the construct validity is quite a key challenge. So I think that's certainly a topic for further work, is understanding what are we actually testing in SJTs. And I think you have to unpick the studies almost individually to understand the design process, the test specification, the criterion validity, and then try and work through that to understand what are we actually testing. So I think the challenge for us as researchers is trying to pull together in this article some of the literature that discusses theoretical basis about what we're actually testing in an SJT. So in essence, I think what we're saying in the discussion is that very recent literature suggests that what we're tapping into in a situation judgment test is more to do with trait expression. In other words, on a personality test, I could be, in terms of my profile, somebody that has a preference for introversion. However, behaving in quite an extrovert manner might actually be a very effective thing to do in certain situations in clinical practice. And I think what the SJT does is almost present a situation that people would encounter, and people bring to it then a judgment about what is effective behaviour in that certain situation. And really it's about, as we described in this paper, individuals who develop, if you like, trait policies or, you know, ideas and thoughts and awareness about what is, you know, an effective behaviour in this situation, which is what is an effective trait to express given the circumstance. So I think it's quite a complex question. I think in overview, the SJTs are good predictors of non-academic attributes, but there is still a heck of a lot more to learn about the construct of the SJTs going forward in the medical education field.
It's nice to know that there's enough questions left over that will remain employed for a little while. I guess my last question, given that you just answered the natural question of what's next, is how are you using your findings in terms of helping you inform the decision-making that's taking place at your school?
Well, in the UK at the moment, Cambridge, in terms of future research directions, we have been working for many years now and looking at various specialties, medical specialties and SJTs. And the specification for each of those have been slightly different for the pilots we've run for surgery as the ones we've been using for general practice. And as time's gone on, we've recognised there's far more commonality than difference. And so one of the things we're exploring is to what extent there could be a very broad-ranging SJT for all medical specialties. Mm-hmm. But the exciting piece, I think, in the UK, in terms of the various pilots and activities, is that we have, at the same time, run some pilots on SJTs for medical school admissions, and then also some pilots for those people coming out of medical school, so that we're able to track through the whole education pathway different specifications reflecting different levels of complexity of the job role at each point, starting with a novice at medical school admissions and how one might construct an SJT for selection tool to look at those important non-academic attributes at that stage, versus then, at the kind of coming out of medical school, how does an individual make that transition in terms of these attributes in clinical practice very early on in their career? And then once somebody's had a fairly substantial level of job experience and general job knowledge, how do these things work when it comes to looking at important non-academic attributes for various specialties? And so I think that one of the things we've been looking at is developing a sort of theoretical model to unpick more the construct validity of SJTs, where we can look at how best to construct them depending on the job level.
Great. Well, it's really important work and an excellent and impressive paper. Very clear that a lot of effort went into putting it together, and well, finish by congratulating you on it and saying that I look forward to seeing how that future work continues to evolve. I'll just remind our listeners that the details of the paper we've just been talking about and more elaborate rendition, obviously, of it can be found in the September 2012 issue of Medical Education. The title is Evaluating the Effectiveness of Situational Judgment Tests to Assess Non-Academic Attributes and Selection. It's a systematic review that's been first authored by Fiona Patterson and co-authored by a number of her colleagues from the United Kingdom. So again, thanks for listening. We'll be back shortly with a couple more podcasts supporting the September issue, and look forward to hearing from you, Fiona, and from the other listeners as time goes on.
Okay, thank you very much, Kevin. It's nice to talk to you.